Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with USAID CFO Lisa Feely. Also joining us in our conversation is Lori Feller. Lisa, let's talk a little bit about the accelerated financial reporting. What steps have you taken to meet the new deadlines for combined performance and accountability reporting this year, and what advice would you have for your colleagues?
Well, we've actually steadily improved each year since they instituted the new much earlier reporting deadlines. I mean, it used to be you could, maybe in the spring following the year, you could get some statements out, and that was sufficient. Now we're looking at a 45-day time period, which is hard to meet. It's very difficult to meet. But in 2001, our IG expressed qualified opinions on three of our five statements, and in 2002, we had a qualified opinion on four of our five statements. So we were steadily improving. 2003, we managed to get our first clean opinion on all of our statements, and at the same time, we hit the 45 days, and that was 1 year before it was going to become a requirement. We were actually the second agency in the entire federal government. I have a group that works solely on publishing our performance and accountability report, and they were just thrilled. And so was I, quite frankly. We've sustained our clean opinions. We've had them for 3 years in a row now, which is just really something to be proud of. The agency for many, many years, I mean, just getting a statement together, but to get it together in that time period and to be able to get an unqualified audit opinion, that's a big deal. I mean, and so we're really proud. We actually went about this by having an agreement, a memorandum of understanding, with our administrator signing it, myself signing it, and our inspector general signing it, which detailed each of the audit steps and each of the due dates that things would be done. I mean, if they were going to give us a legal rep letter, they were going to give it to us on this date. We had such and such an amount of time to review it. So everybody could anticipate what was going to be asked for when. And you sort of planned your agenda around that because, getting these statements out and getting the opinion on them was first and foremost. I mean, we had a lot of catching up on routine functions when this was over because it was a real task for everyone.
So it sounds like clarity of process and clarity of role were real key successes here.
Exactly. I mean, it's like every night I kind of have a list of things to do tomorrow and I'm adding on to them until I fall asleep, and that's what this was like. I mean, anytime the auditors had to change something for any reason or if we were asking for a couple more days for something, that got changed, that got agreed to, and then it was sort of etched in stone after that. And it worked out very well for us.
Great. How is USAID implementing Sarbanes-Oxley regulations or the OMB Circular A-123, and what steps have you taken to date?
Well, we're implementing it with difficulty, like every other federal agency. I mean, this was sort of thrown at us. Some of the agencies have money to contract out and get contractor assistance. We have very little, so we're doing a lot of the mechanics of implementing the changes ourselves with in-house staff, which is tough. The original circular A-123 was a bear to implement, to do your risk assessments and your reviews and to document. I mean, it was a horrendous paperwork exercise. Actually, if you had done that when the act was originally passed and you had continued that process, you wouldn't be in bad shape, but most agencies didn't continue it with the vigor that was intended. And that's why this is sort of a new thing, the Appendix A requirements under A-123. But we've actually we have our plan in place. We have our senior team in place, the senior assessment team, which is required. And OMB has already started ranking agencies according to their color code ranking. And we got a yellow on this, and we got the yellow because everything over, I think there are about 10 things that they sort of look at. Everything was green with the exception of our dedication of adequate resources. And we just don't have the adequate resources, which brought us down to a yellow because we were rated red there. But we're working with other government agencies trying to share as much information as we can and, looking into just how much of it we can get done in-house. We actually have part of our assessment team that we have looking at this, we have an overseas group that are implementing it, and we have a real strong cadre of folks overseas. Our Foreign Service nationals are just great, and it's actually one of our Foreign Service nationals from Egypt who's leading the effort. I mean, when I go out, I am always, I shouldn't be maybe anymore, but I am always like so surprised at the dedication and the expertise these people have. It's just amazing. They're leading an effort to document our procedures, to conduct some of the reviews. We're also trying to take advantage of as many internal reviews that are done for other reasons and trying to get credit for those reviews, which is something that you can do. And we're working closely with our auditors. So we're doing well as far as implementing this. I mean, obviously, this is a good thing. You know, it's a lot of work. But I think everybody will agree when all is said and done and we have this implemented and this structure in place, it shouldn't be a lot of work, you know, but it's just getting the infrastructure in place.
Lisa, improper payments is another hot topic in financial management. What steps have you taken to ensure that USAID has significantly reduced your improper payments in accordance with the federal guidelines? What advice do you have for your federal colleagues?
Well, luckily, Lori, improper payments really isn't a hot topic for us because we don't have a big problem with improper payments. We actually fell under the threshold and don't have to do a lot of the reporting that some of the larger agencies or some of the domestic assistance agencies that have had some problems. We had $13 billion in grants and contracts, and of that, we only had about $6 billion where we had question cost, and then we recovered $4.5 billion of that. So we're actually sitting very, very well and not had to dedicate a lot to get our improper payments back, if you will. So as luck would have it, that's not really high on our radar screen because we've got a good payments unit and a good process in place for reviewing contracts and grants and then recouping question costs.
Lisa, let's talk for a moment about the president's management agenda. In the last OMB scorecard, USAID received a green rating in financial performance progress. To what activities do you attribute this success, and what steps are planned to bring USAID to green in financial management overall?
Well, actually, we plan on going directly from where we are to green with no stops on yellow. And we're hoping that once we complete our systems implementation, our Phoenix systems implementation will be there. One of the issues and our major issue for not being there now is the fact that the current system that we operate under, which we're really only operating in one of our bureaus now, was not compliant with laws and regs, specifically FFMIA. We weren't recording transactions according to the standard general ledger. So this being an approved package that we're implementing, we will have that done once we complete our rollout to Africa in our phase one and in our phase two. That brings you really to yellow if you really read the requirements. What you really need to show to get to green is that not only are you reporting good, accurate financial information, but there's somebody using it. And that's wherein we have our angst about our reporting situation. And that's why we have dedicated so many resources to getting these reports right and getting these reports to contain the data that people want and need to manage the organization. We believe that we're getting there now. And once we roll out in Africa, if we continue on the same successful path that we're having now with the reports, we're hoping to jump from red to green.
Lisa, you mentioned a few times the integration points with the Department of State. You talked a little bit about the center down in Charleston. Can you talk about the steps being taken by your office to coordinate with the Department of State?
Actually, we have what we call the JFMS. It's the Joint Financial Management Systems Committee. We have that at a working level, and we also have an executive body that oversees, which I'm a member of the executive body, and folks on my staff are at the working level. But that group oversees it actually worked very tediously in getting us moved down to Charleston. But it continues as a governing body to make sure that we're in sync as far as upgrades. Because from this point on, we'll be having to deal with coordinating with state if we want to do an upgrade. I mean, we just recently did an upgrade of our software. Working by committee like that, both at the Washington level and in Charleston, having our folks down housed permanently in Charleston, their offices there, it's working out very well. But I think this will be a body that continues for the unforeseeable future. I mean, we have our joint management committee, which we have with state and USAID, and the JFMS actually reports up to one of the joint management committee working groups, which I co-chair. The financial processes, the management processes work group that overlooks that. There's a lot of people watching. I mean, we want to take advantage as much as we can of the economies of having both platforms together, you know, both systems together on one platform. But at the same time, there's a lot to be looked at. I mean, you have two different financial systems, two different sets of financial statements that have to be prepared. So you have to continue to have a body looking at that from all angles.
What does the future hold for USAID? We will ask Chief Financial Officer Lisa Feely to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.